This recording is labeled explicit, but your audience's only parental discretion is advised.
Oro kana mono wa eichiyo yorokobanai. Tara jibu no ikendakeo arawasu. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Proverbs 18:2. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and please add some light coming from the darkness that is the Danger Zone show. God bless Dr. Mo.
Bitch alert. Bitch alert! Bitch alert! Attention all you bitches! Listen up! Dr. Mo is on the air!
This is the Rude Guy, checking in from Maui, and this is the show with something to offend everybody.
Okay, hey, this is Becky Churro, the Becky Churro Show, and you are listening to Dr. Mo in the Danger Zone. Go get him, Doc!
Hello, bitches! This is Dr. Mo. Welcome to the Danger Zone.
We don't get fooled again! Don't get fooled again! No, no!
So, after the ball, you went home and you were in the car with Catherine's daughter and Theo?
Yes.
And then what
happened?
Because
what ended up happening was, I was really distraught. I was, like, crying so much. And then, you know, they made me go back because they're like, you have to do the final interview. And, and they made it really nice for me. So anyway, I don't know. Jasmine ended up convincing these producers to do something for me. They're like, you can't do this to her. This is not right. You've got to, try to do something for her, And she's like, why don't you let her go out with Theo? Let Theo take her out or something. So, she ended up convincing them, and they ended up giving Theo some money, and then Theo agreed to take me out somewhere. And at the end of the day,
wow,
it was bittersweet. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, they're forcing guys to go out with me now?
They're paying them off. It's like a charity date. Nobody called me. I want you to know. I would have been there for free.
I know. Yeah, it was just, I felt really awful about that because I was just like, oh my God, I don't need anybody's pity. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need anybody to pity me right now. Like, it's not making me feel any better. But I finally did agree to it. And so that's how I ended up in the car with Theo and Catherine's daughter, which we were going to drop off to her. And then we ended up seeing her on the way on the road, and we just kind of like pulled over and she got in the car with them. So.
Wow. And then you went out with Theo.
Uh-huh.
And then what'd you guys do? Anything interesting?
Well, we were in like this, English countryside village. So, there was really
Ooh,
nothing around to do.
It's very romantic. I think it's absolutely romantic. What a wonderful opportunity to spend time together. Hello. Go ahead. American Princess Clarissa Santiago, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so anyway, we go out and we find like this little restaurant and, we go in there and we just live it up in there. We order the most expensive champagne, the most expensive wine, the most expensive steak dinners. I mean, you name it, we ordered it because we had like 150 pounds and that was like a whole bunch of money in this restaurant. So like we ended up getting like a feast worth of food. And, and that was that. And then, we just headed back because we were on schedule too. They weren't trying to let us out too late together. So
right.
We had to go back and they ended up picking us up on the road. So we didn't even get to like really walk or anything.
Oh man, they called the producers right away, huh?
Oh yeah. Well, the producers said that it was okay, but they only wanted us out for like an hour or two. And I think I got away with 3 hours in the restaurant with him without them calling us. And then we got a call eventually.
Wow. They're like, you've been gone for 3 hours. Where the hell are you?
Where are you? Yeah.
So did you want to do anything on the trip? Were you kind of throbbing down there and were ready to do something?
Hell yeah. I just thought it was I thought I was going to get the most of my experience. You know, that's how I was looking at it. I'm like, you know, whenever am I going to be in London again, you know? But there just was an opportunity for that. So it was just a really, you know, a real fantasy. That's all it was.
So
you
wait,
know?
They brought you to the restaurant. Did they drive you there or did you go yourself?
No, they drove us. They drove us to the corner and then we got out and walked maybe about 3 storefronts down. And that was the restaurant. Then we walked in and they got us a table. Once we ordered the bottle of wine, you know, I guess they thought, oh, these guys are going to spend money. So they gave us like this nice booth table and, you know, and we just like ate and we talked about so much. Like I got to know so much about him and he got to know a lot more about me, you know, and he was like, you know, I wanted to hang out with you and just kind of see you in a relaxed, you know, having a good time, you know, kind of feeling and
off
mood
camera.
Because I was always, yeah, because on camera I was always so uptight and I'm like, you know, I have to be perfect, you know.
That's that pageant mindset. How did you get started in the pageant world?
Well, when I was in high school, it really all started for me with the whole pageant thing. My best friend in high school, we were on the cheerleading team together, and her mother put her in, like, this teen Puerto Rico pageant.
Oh, man.
You know, New York Puerto Rico pageant.
You were a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I was a cheerleader.
Man. Another...
I was captain of the dance team. I was in the drama
club. Like, that's like a whole other movie for my imagination. I got now I have a high school phase.
I'm gonna have to send you a picture of my cheerleader days.
Send away.
Just for you, just because it's giving you so many happy thoughts.
Send away. Happy thoughts are abound. Now, so yeah, you're at the restaurant with Theo, and you're mm-hmm. talking, and you're like, you know, you're feeling more relaxed. Obviously. Maybe Paul was saying that you were acting because he saw you being tense and not yourself.
Yeah, perhaps. You know what I mean? Like, it could, you know, who knows what they saw? Like, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think I was any different off camera, you know, than I was on camera. You know, obviously, when we were around the judges, we wanted to be on our best behavior. We wanted to stand the way they wanted us to stand and walk the way they wanted us to walk and use the words that they use. You know, like instead of saying pants, they wanted us to use the word trousers. You know, so it was like we had to be on our P's and Q's. And doesn't a princess in the public eye, I mean, can the princess just be like that person that she is behind closed doors in the public eye?
Like Cassie?
No, not exactly.
Like Cassie. Yeah, I thought Cassie was there, but you're absolutely right. You make a very good point. If you're going to be a princess, I mean, you got to start acting like it in the show itself throughout so you can demonstrate that you can do this on the regular with people peeping into every side of your life.
Exactly.
I would imagine. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I was looking at it. I'm like, you know, I have to be on my best behavior at all times. Why? Because there's people with cameras around. You know, there's people, you know, talking to you, the public. They don't want us talking to the public. Just like with celebrities. They don't want celebrities talking too much to the public because you don't know who you're talking to. And any little bit of information that you let go, that's it. You know, that's in the tabloids the next day. So, like, I'm thinking on those terms, you know, of being a princess. You know, I'm thinking that... grand of it, you know, so I'm like, you know, I have to be on my best behavior and I have to be an example, you know, what I do in my house, that's my business. And, you know, that's a whole nother story, you know, and if you want me to be how I am in my house, chances are you probably wouldn't make me the princess.
Well, you know, you gotta, why would you want to be an American princess?
I wanted $50,000.
Hey, now.
It was a $50,000 prize. And, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't a real thing about the title, you know, because I knew there was no such thing as the American princess. It wasn't like I was going to be coming back and having dinner with the president, you know? But I knew...
You never know. The president could be black.
You never know. Yeah, I mean, considering a person like me, I definitely would have tried to make the most of that whole thing, but it's not a real title. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, there
really was the title? What was the title they were going to give you in England?
Oh, the British title is real. That's, you would be the lady of the manor.
What manor? What was that house? It looked like a big barn. What was it?
I don't even know. I don't think we... Did we ever see the house? I don't even know. But it was the manor of... I don't know. I don't remember. It was last year.
It was... Now, that name was weird, though, because I was looking at it, and I'm like, that name ain't right. That sounds like an insult.
You know, they just found, like, some name on the list, I think, and said, you know, this one. We're going to pick this one and give it to one of the girls.
So were you going to hook up with the Polish guy? Tell me about the Polish guy, the prince.
Right. The prince, you know, I thought the prince was a really nice guy. And, you know, we all had a funny feeling about him. I don't think that either one of us thought that he was the prince. But, you know, we all had a funny feeling about him. Like, who is this guy? He's so strange. What is he doing around here? Like, he was supposed to be an old friend of the family's. And perhaps he was. But he just seemed like a new figure, you know. And,
he was,
you know, and I didn't think he was a prince. I mean, and he did, you know, he seemed kind of gay to me, you know, like not to be, I have lots of gay friends. I love the gay community, you know.
Yeah. Be careful. I got a, you better be careful,
you know,
there. I got a lot of, I got a lot of fags and dykes listening.
Well, you know, well, I love the gay community and they should know that. But I, you know, because I have so many gay friends, I mean, he struck me as being kind of gay, you know, and he was talking about his dog a whole lot, you know, and, you know, I don't think that guys really go on and on about their dogs, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But we thought that he was kind of funny.
No, we don't.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at him and it seemed, yeah, the whole thing when he was an old friend of the family, I was wondering, why would you need a third male unless he is part of the decision-making process and possibly one of the most important voices? And then I started figuring out, you know, he is probably the advisor to the prince because he's kind of faggish. Why would he want a princess? So he's probably the guy who comes in, you know, who goes in a foxhole mm-hmm. there and goes point for the prince and checks mm-hmm. out the whole situation. And then when a prince walks in, he gives his vote.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows? I really don't know how that happened. I mean, they said that the prince saw us transform throughout. You know, I don't really know how they made that happen. I don't remember ever seeing Michael anywhere around Makush or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember, you know, ever seeing him around or meeting him before. So, you know, other than that one night, you know, which, you know, I hope they were telling the truth, you know, and I hope that his decision was based on, you know, our involvement throughout the show and not really based on, you know, one night of hanging out with us and getting us drunk, you
right,
know?
Right, right.
That's just not right, you know, especially when they didn't let us drink throughout the whole time. Don't you think we're going to get drunk? We haven't drunk in 5 weeks. You know, every time we drink, we get a sip of champagne or something silly like that. We weren't allowed to drink. So that night when we had that big dinner and they were letting us have drinks, of course the girls are going to get drunk. You know, of course.
But you did good, though. You did good. I was watching our girl's name. What's her name again?
Which one?
The number two.
The number two, Jasmine?
Yeah,
Kathy?
So Jasmine. I was watching Jasmine grabbing her fork and pointing at the guy's face while telling a story. And I'm like, no, she didn't do that shit. And that, and I'm like, when she's going to the ball, I'm like, that's a princess? Who does that? And I was watching you very closely. And,
yeah.
And
I do have a habit of talking with my fork and knife up in the air, you know?
That's fine, but
I mean,
you were
being
good with
it. Maybe it's a Latino thing, but we're very animated.
you got that pageant training, I think. Well, you did very good. You were talking, you were laughing. Who were you sitting next to? But I didn't think, at one point it seemed to me you might have been bored, but you were kind of still, you know, mm-hmm. engaging.
I probably was lost in thought. I mean, I have a habit of getting dazed out like that sometimes. Yeah, maybe
it's
they
not
caught
the,
it on
Is it the hypnotic? Girl, you like to drink, don't you?
The Thug Passion.
Yeah, Thug Passion. I heard you like to drink. That's a good thing. Now, The ball, after the ball,
mm-hmm.
did you, you know, when they sent the two girls to the ball, what did you do? I mean, did they take you back to the mansion, pack you up and send you home right away?
No, I mean, I was really upset. I was crying first and foremost. I mean, I was just, like, really hysterical. They tried to interview me right after that elimination. Like, they ran up in my face and put all the microphones in my face. I mean, it was just, like, traumatic. I was just like, oh, my God, get this out of my face. Like, right. I just stood there. I didn't want to talk, and I just started crying, and I just walked away, and they started following me. Everybody wanted to hug me. I think that everyone was just really shocked, and they didn't think that I was going to take it like that. You know, they thought that I was really full of shit. So therefore, you know, they thought that I wouldn't cry or that I wasn't going to have any sort of reaction, you know, and boy, were they wrong. Cause at that point they saw how emotional I was and, you know, and how much it really did hurt, you know, that I wasn't even allowed to go to the ball. Like, oh my God, that just, it's an awful, awful feeling, you know, but I'm not going to lie. When I got back to New York, I felt good about, you know, how they gave me the boot because I knew I was going to have, you know, that effect on everyone. You know, I knew that the way that they were going to, you know, eliminate me from the show was going to get a reaction from people and get people talking, you know, so I suppose that, you know, in the end it was a good thing, but going through it, it was really hard.
Yeah, that's got to be hard. I mean, and you were there for how long? How much time did you spend there?
5 weeks in London.
That was it, man. It seemed like, I mean, the show took, it seemed the show was longer than five shows.
Well, the,
seven,
you know,
wasn't it seven or eight shows?
Yeah, it was a 2 month, you know, it was 2 months, an episode every week. You know, and it was 8 episodes that was shot in those 6 weeks, including what was shot in New York.
Yeah, I thought so. Because they had, they also had the auditions a little bit. The first episode was when they picked everybody.
Yeah, the first couple of episodes is when they, you know, gave us the first round of tests, you know, if you will, and basically, you know, was, you know, they were teaching us things. We did the receiving line and, you know, they were just trying us out. See who's going to work, I guess, and, you know, who's really going to give the show the drama it needed to stay on air.
Girl, you had the drama, all right. Oh, my Boricua, my Boricua, mamma mia. All right. How about Judge Jean Broke Smith? What did you think about her? She was this uppity, you know, British old lady who knows about etiquette. This is not how you do it, darling. If you're going to get some wine, do it like
oh,
this.
Oh, darling was not a word that she would use.
Yeah, no. What did she call you? Dear? She called you guys something patronizing.
Yeah. Yeah, like dear and, you know, stupid stuff. Who knows? I never used to hang out around her too much. I didn't get a sense that she liked me too much. And it was because of that whole pageant shit. You know, she thought that, oh, you know, Clarissa is full of it, you know? So going into it, I already had kind of like the underhand, but, you know, I just didn't like being around her. A lot of girls like to socialize around her. They wanted to be friendly with her and get them to like her. And I used to run pageants, and I remember when the girls used to try to, like, befriend me just because they thought that maybe they would win if they were my friend. And, you know, it just doesn't work that way. So I wouldn't even waste my time putting on a show for her, you
wow.
know. Towards the end, we would, you know, chit-chat here and there. But, you know, that's about it. And it was just because of the crap they were saying about us, you know, like who would sign up to, you know, like how, you know, was it a good pay for you to get up and put other people down? People that took their real life and put it on camera for you and you guys are just signing up, reading a script and, you know, you're playing with real people's lives. You know, like I just wasn't with it, you know.
Well, you know, and what we call those types of people on the show, old white bitches. Okay. Here we go now. Apparently she was a grooming expert. I guess dog grooming. She said a couple of things. She had some comments, you know, during the judging session where they identified who was going to the ball. And it was a clincher because they were going to announce that, you know, three were going, but only two were going to make it through. I was on pins and needles for a friggin' week. It was bad. But,
yeah.
You know, she's, she seemed mean and everything. And I thought so. But what about James Whittaker, the old guy there, the British journalist?
Oh, I loved him.
How was he?
I loved him.
I think he said some good things about you. He said some good things about you.
Yeah, he said some good things about me. And you know what? I just thought that he was a really cool, down-to-earth guy. I mean, of course, you know, he had his ways, his stuck-up ways, you know, but that's because he's British. I mean, come on, you know, like, that's what you get from, you know, that's the essence of a British person. You know what I mean? Like, that's just their culture. So, you know, he was just, like, always giving me advice, always trying to help, you know, and I just thought he was a really cool guy. And he just kept it, he said what he felt, and, you know, he was very honest about it, you know, and towards the end, I felt like he really cared, but, it didn't matter what he cared, because, you know, it was a written show, you know what I mean?
Wow, so they actually predicted who was going to be, you know, did they script you? Did they tell you, okay, today you're going to do this, do it like this, I want you to complain
louder? No, we never knew. They never told us anything. Like, we never knew what was going to happen next. Like, you know, we kind of would guess. We would try to take guesses. One time, Crystal got a hold of Ms. Brokesmith's, you know, clipboard, and she told us what we had for the whole week, so that was really cool. But, you know, outside of that, we never knew what was going to happen. But, you know, people like Paul and Jean and, you know, and Mr. Whitaker, they all had clipboards with a script on it, you know, and it's almost as if they would, you know, do things a certain way to get a certain reaction out of us, because then they knew how we would react, either working with another person or taking on some sort of task by the things that we would say, you know. And that's really how they develop the show day by day and develop a script, you know, for the judges and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, it's you know, production definitely has a hand in it, you know, in reality TV. It's real in the sense that our reactions are real and, you know, and what you're seeing happening is real. But what is happening has been planned by someone else. You know, someone put us into that position for a reason, and it was to get good TV.
Wow. And it's a business. It's making money. How can you, is there any way that you could parlay anything? Did you try parlaying anything into something in the London or something, some interviews, some things like that?
I mean, I would have loved to, but I didn't, you know, and I really just, I don't really have too much help. I kind of just been doing things on my own. I've been taking pictures, and like, if I get emails for auditions and castings, I just go out for it. You know, other people call me up, you know, I have associate managers that I work with that, you know, send me things from time to time. And if it, I think it's worth it, I'll go for it. But I mean, other than that, like, it, you know, that was an opportunity that came to me, and it was really real.
It is amazing. It was an amazing opportunity.
It was an amazing opportunity. You know, despite whatever may have happened, you know, I got a trip to London, you know, and we flew on Virgin Atlantic, so it was really, really good.
Business class?
I think so, yes. No, wait. Yeah, we definitely didn't go first class.
let me tell you, were the seats fully reclined?
I can't. No, I don't think so.
Oh my God, they robbed you! They flew you over there in like coach or something, as those regular seats.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. Baby, well, let me tell
let me,
you, it
let
was
me
great.
Tell you.
For the girl
I'll
from
tell
the Bronx.
You. What was that?
I said it was great for this girl from the Bronx that never left the country.
Yeah, listen, next time I'll take you on a world ride, and we'll go first class. How about that?
Oh, God, Dr. Mo, will you stop hitting on me?
I'm getting my club right now, if you don't mind there. I'm going to really pound on you. So you've been watching things, right? The politics, things that are going on. The election, the scandals, the war, the issues, the economy, and all of that. Have you you keep in touch with that stuff?
Yes, I do. Yes and no. I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm a dedicated person that follows, you know, politics. And, you know, I don't even really watch the news that much. You know, I probably listen to 1010 Winds in the morning just so that I can get the time, the weather, you know, the traffic, you know, what the subway delays are, you know, that kind of stuff. I really don't keep in tune that way. But, you know, from what I hear here and there, and, you know, things that I might catch on the internet and read about, you know, and that's really how I kind of stay in tune. So I know what's going on in politics with the candidates and everything, and, you know, with our governor, our former governor, and his whole prostitution scandal, and the new governor coming in and his extramarital affairs. I mean, everybody's just hanging their dirty laundry, you know, but it is what it is. You know, that's why I don't pay it any mind. It's not even worth, you know, my attention.
I was watching Patterson. I'm like, how does a blind guy cheat on a woman? You see him walking around, it's like he almost never needs an aid. He's like one of those sled dogs, you know, could they tell him G for right and O for left, and that's the guys walking around next to Patterson going, we're going to the right, yeah, all right, wait, that's a tight right. And he's like, all right, and he keeps moving. Right. He's gonna slam into a fucking wall one day. Watch. He's gonna lose his fucking mouth. He won't be able to talk. But he's a great orator, though. He could talk. He has a great... He's good at talking. He's very, very good at talking. His wife is cute.
I mean, anybody in politics is very good at talking, wouldn't you say?
No, he's very good. He's better than Spitzer.
Yeah. Okay, well...
He is. He's like a...
We'll see, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, hey, listen, nobody's saying he's going to be
great.
You could
talk a good one, but, you know, we're going to see what he do.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're always going to fuck it up anyway. Somebody's going to get fucked. I mean, that's the bottom line. Somebody always gets fucked, so we know that's going to happen. I'm just saying he is good at playing that better than Spitzer. He's great at being the governor and being the, just, you know, taking it seriously and but making jokes and being, you know, he was entertaining during his speech right after he told everybody, I slept on my wife. I slept around on my wife there blindly without a cane. I made it to the Days Inn. I didn't even go to the Holiday Inn Express because I'm that cheap. But it's a good thing. So what do you think about the candidate slate? The Democratic Party, Democrat or Republican?
You know, I'm Democrat. I guess, you know, I'm a Democrat.
You guess? You're like, why? Why
was the last time I voted.
So, I mean, you know, what makes you a Democrat? Is that because most people you know are Democrats, or is it because of something else?
No, I mean, I'm a Democrat because, you know, I definitely feel that people have the right to choose and they should have the right to choose, you know, and I believe in democracy and all this other stuff. So, you know, that's why I'm a Democrat. You know, I'm not all a moron.
Nobody said that. I would never say, and anybody who says that will endure my wrath.
Yeah. Well, no, I believe that, you know, we got to vote for what we want and what we believe is right, you know, and the whole thing is that I just feel like our generation is just really unmotivated because there aren't that many young people really stepping into the shoes of, you know, the former civil rights leaders, you know, that were fighting for our rights back in the day. You know, who do we have today that's standing up for us like that? So I just feel like, you know, times are changing and, you know, we've got to find other ways to get young people especially motivated to want to vote and, you know, and pick a party, whatever party, but just vote, you know, speak your mind. You know, so we don't get fucked over.
Who do you like? Who do you like in the on the Democratic slate? We've got Hillary Clinton, the first ever woman to really have a chance to be president, and Barack Obama, the first African American having a chance to be president. Two huge historical moments. Who do you pick?
Well, you know, I'm really undivided. I'm divided at this point. Not undivided. I'm divided at this point between the both of them because on the one hand, I do feel that, you know, if Barack Obama were to become president, it would be an amazing, you know, milestone for black people. And, you know, I also feel like he's just bringing this whole spirit to the game that's uplifting people, you know, and motivating people. And because he has that effect on us, it's easy to believe that, you know, he is saying that he can handle, you know, the U.S. and its issues. On the other hand, you know, you have Hillary Clinton, who I feel like, you know, she's a woman, and there's that potential of a woman making an emotional decision, which is never good, and that's something men never do.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Yeah, and
that's
the,
dangerous.
The side of that, yeah, it is. You know, but on the flip side of that, I do feel that she has the political experience to back her, that she is able to run the country. And I mean, I remember when Clinton was president, and Gore used to say that he just hated working with Clinton, you know, because she was like really wearing the pants behind the scenes. You know what I mean? So, you know, I have the confidence in her that if she were to win, you know, that maybe she could, you know, with the right advisors and a good vice president, maybe she could be a good person to lead the country. But at this point, I really don't know. You know, I guess I'll make my decision when it's time.
So do the stories that come around, do those freak you out? Do they make you flip one way or the other once a week or something?
What, like these scandals?
All these scandals coming out and...
No, not at all. You know why? Because people fail to realize that no matter what position anyone holds in this world, we're all human beings. And we all share in the same, you know, desires and fantasies and sins and all this other crap. You know what I mean? Like, we all, you know, have those same urges, you know? So what's the difference if Elliot Spitzer, you know, gets a high-priced hoe versus, you know, Jerome from down the street getting a hooker from the strip? You know what I mean? Like,
I got an urge right now.
Yeah, like, and if you, so Dr. Mo, if you went and you called a prostitute, I bet it wouldn't make, you know, the front paper, you know what I mean? But
no, and it better
be
free.
In his position, you see, the thing about it is that in his position, you know, he did need to resign because he partook in an illegal act. You know, if it wasn't illegal, then I wouldn't care, but the law is the law, you know what I'm saying?
And he was prosecuting people for that.
My point is that...
He was actually prosecuting them for that.
Yeah, he was prosecuted, and he was using city money, which means that I'm going to work every day 9 to 5 like I do, and I'm paying taxes, so he could go and spend it on a high-priced hole. Like, that's not really cool. But at the end of the day, I really, really, really don't give a shit. I really, really don't. It's like, you know, he wanted to get a hole. His wife is still with him. They might, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. They might have an agreement. She probably was like, honey, you know, I can't see you tonight. Go ahead and get you one of them holes. You know? You don't know.
Or I'm seeing, going to see Tyrone or Jose.
Yeah, like, I'm going to see Tyrone. Go handle your business tonight. I mean, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors is what
Yikes.
I'm saying. And, you know, and I don't care, but I think that all the proper actions were taken. You know, he stepped down because you can't have someone who partook in something illegal represent a state and have children in school looking up to you and into those positions to want to be one of those people and have all of these scandals going around. But, you know, it's really hard. It's really hard to hold that kind of position and be conscious of every single move that you make. You know, it's hard.
Did you hear about the Barack Obama race speech?
Yes, I did. The hour-long speech.
Yeah, did you hear any
of
it?
Yeah, yeah. I got a glimpse of it today, but to be honest with you, I haven't heard the entire thing. But, you know, today when I was at work, I did get an email with the link to it on YouTube, and I started to watch it, but I didn't get to really get into it.
How crazy is that? I mean, that's a first. Have you heard anything else
about it? Tell me about it.
Well, I'm asking you. You're not interviewing me. Where are you going, sweetheart? Wait a minute.
Well, I don't know anything about it. I haven't heard it.
Well, you got to go check it out, and you're going to come back to me right on the Danger Zone. You're going to give me a special report.
Okay, that would be wonderful. I've got homework to do then.
That's right, for the Danger Zone. A lot of people listening to you, and they're waiting for your results, and you're so very hot. Oh, my God.
Oh, thank you.
You are beautiful.
Thank my mama and my daddy.
You're sassy, your poppy, and your mommy. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs., for this gift to the human eye. Are we going to see you on TV soon again?
You know, I really, really hope so. You know, I love it. I mean, I got a taste of it, and, you know, it's different. I think it's a lot easier to act like you're someone else than it is to be yourself on a reality show. So, you know, I definitely want to get into some more TV stuff. I recently started shooting a pilot, for a TV show that's something similar to like a Sex in the City. But, you know, it's like an urban version with Latinas and black women.
Nice.
And Asian women. There's Asian women. And, you know, there's a group of friends. I'm one of the leading girls.
Oh,
and
man,
I'm
that's
kind
great.
Of like, yeah. And I'm kind of, hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep, sorry. I'm kind of like the Kim Cattrall version.
Oh,
version,
yeah,
on
baby. Yeah,
yeah,
that's going to
really
be beautiful.
Cool. It's really cool. It's written by Benji Ajatubi, and we call her Gigi for short, and she's shooting it now. And,
is she Jewish?
No, she's not Jewish. No, she's not.
I don't know.
Jewish.
They can make
she's
it work.
African. She's African.
She's African. Oh, it's not going to work. Damn it. See, you know, they're not going to give her any of the money. Are you kidding me? With Pastor Wright out there calling.
Oh, no. No. She's actually, she has a lot of good partners. So I have a lot of faith in her. And she was also a fan of American Princess. That's how I was able to get on.
Well, I am a fan of yours. I want you to be the Danger Zone girl, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious, Dr. Mo?
I am serious. I want you to represent us, and you're going to be the icon for the show. I want to discuss this with you, but I really, I mean, this is it. So we'll talk about it. Gonna take it right.